I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. Best Network is ideal if you are an expertise-driven solopreneur business owner with many years of experience in your field. If you are a consultant, coach, or professional selling your knowledge and creativity, we're here for you. If you join the Best Network, you'll receive access to the full Smashing the Plateau archive of over 350 episodes, and you'll receive expert, individual, and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. With teams of like-minded and supportive professionals surrounding you, you'll be perfectly poised to smash the plateau in your business with our membership programs. To learn more about joining the Best Network and how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome David Mamano. For more than 20 years, David has been a serial entrepreneur. Having started 7 businesses from scratch, he thrives on starting and growing businesses. Today, he thrives on helping others start or grow their businesses by infusing the latest entrepreneurial principles into their strategy. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Very, very excited to be here.
So, David, as I mentioned in the introduction, you have a history of starting a number of businesses and growing them. What do you see as some of the differences between starting and growing, particularly since Smashing the Plateau is about how you overcome those roadblocks that happen after you've been in business for a while? What do you see as some of the differences between starting and growing?
Well, you know, I think there are two different skill sets, and some people have both of them and some people don't. That's why you'll see a lot of, you know, entrepreneurial founders of companies get, you know, kind of moved aside when it gets to a certain level, and they bring in the quote unquote professional CEO. You know, for me, I love, I'll say, you know, birthing the messy baby of a business. You know, I have an idea in my brain, and I love actually just making it come to reality. It's kind of the drug of my choice. I'm very good at birthing the baby, getting it to a certain level. I'll say get it to the toddler stage. And then either I need to sell the company or bring somebody in as, you know, kind of a number two to just really run the operations, because that's where I start to lose my superpower. So, you know, what I have seen with my own personal experience is that to start a business, you really have to be that person who is, you know, a fire starter that can, you know, reach out to people that are able to help you start the business, whether it's investors or partners or helping you make the product, helping you sell the product. And to be able to do that, you know, you really need to be able to tell a good story, because if the business hasn't been launched yet, you need to be a great storyteller to be able to put that vision in other people's minds of what problem you're going to solve and how you're going to do it. And you could show them PowerPoints, of course, and, you know, visions written down. But at the end of the day, it's really how you explain it and get people's brain to picture what this business could do. And then, you know, convince them to get involved with you in one way, shape, or form. And then launching it, once again, continuing to work with the people that can help you grow that business. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of, I'll say, you know, kind of enthusiasm that is contagious to follow a leader where they're really, people don't know where they're going yet. I mean, they can see the vision, but in their mind, but they probably can't see it tangibly yet. So it takes some trust. It takes some integrity, you know, to do it the right way. So that is really, I think, what it takes to launch a business, really to corral those people that need to help you start it in order so that they could believe in you to help make it happen. And then the second stage is you know, let's say you get it to, well, $500,000, $1 million. You know, now it starts to need some structure, right? It starts to need, okay, we need a little operations, maybe a little bit more professional bookkeeping, you know, a little bit more thoughtful sales and marketing plan, a little more thoughtful product development. You know, where do we go with this? You know, maybe starting to bring a number two, or if you read the Traction book, you know, there's the visionary, and then there's the integrator, I believe it's called, you know, so look at, and really, which is the number two, to make sure that the company stays focused. You know, oftentimes the biggest strength of the visionary entrepreneur is the idea, but also becomes the biggest weakness as the ideas don't stop. And so a lot of times that number two, that integrator, will say, you know, hey, we need to, you know, create the vision for the year, reverse engineer it quarter by quarter, and focus on that vision and not put anything else on the vision. Unless, of course, we're going to take something off. Unless, of course, it requires us to pivot. Otherwise, we need to be focused. And I think in order for the company to scale to the next level, you know, everybody needs to be focusing on that original mountain that we originally decided to climb together. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And David, what made you decide to shift from launching and growing your own businesses to helping others start and build theirs?
Well, what's great is I'm still doing both. So with my business, my own business, which is called the Avanti Entrepreneur Group. So, you know, I launched a podcast, you know, I launch events, right? I launched different coaching services. I launched an online course. So I still get to be the creative entrepreneur, which really is my drug of choice, but I happen to have a knack for helping people. And this is the title of my next book, Going from Couch to Corporation. And I say couch to corporation, meaning helping people stop thinking about, you know, that dream of starting a business and giving them the inspiration and the tools to actually start it. So the inspiration, yeah, I mean, having them look at, you know, the downside of starting it, the risk of starting it, and then the risk if they don't start it. So kind of convincing them that, yeah, I can do this. And that's half the battle. But then I also help them with a groundwork and a framework to actually launch the business in a way that has some fundamentals to it and some things that they need to be thinking about. And I still feel very entrepreneurial because all these people that I'm helping to start businesses and grow businesses, I feel very tied into their business. And I'm giving them ideas on how to grow it because I'm outside their woods. And so I still get the best of both worlds, where I still have my own entrepreneurial business, but I also get that to really contribute to other people's businesses as well.
That sounds great. And now let's talk a little bit about a very specific kind of business, which is the solopreneur expert. And I'm thinking about somebody who may be a consultant who has been in their field for, usually it's a long time, like let's say 20 years or more. And very often people that run these single person consulting businesses are in their business either by design or by circumstance. And sometimes it's a little bit of each. So those that are solopreneurs by design, very often they have been a solopreneur for most of their career. They've, in some way, shape, or form, they've run an independent single person consulting business. And then there are those that may have been in some kind of larger organization, corporate or whatever, and the marketplace has changed, employment has changed, and they have been eased out. And they're not at a point when they either want to or perhaps can retire, and retirement is in some ways becoming a thing of the past anyway, particularly those that are selling their knowledge. They need to find a way to make the business part of it work. And often they've never really focused on doing what they do and focusing on the business part. They're really focusing on delivering high quality results to the people they serve. What thoughts do you have, or perhaps advice for somebody who's like that, who might be, you know, 45, 50, 55 years old, really good at what they do? Whenever they have an engagement, they deliver high quality results, yet generating consistent, stable revenue just seems to be a constant struggle.
Yeah, it's tough. I think, you know, 20 years ago, you know, consultants, and now a lot of people will also call themselves coaches. it was a very different world. It was there was a lot less consultants, and the word coach was mostly reserved for sports, you know, coaches. But the industry has just exploded. And you know, I look on Facebook and LinkedIn and I'm like, oh my goodness, is everybody a coach? Right. I mean, there's like everybody's posting inspiration, which is nice, right? But it seems like everybody's trying to be a coach and an expert in something. And, you know, as I, you know, talk to people, I've actually had people tell me that they're experiencing, you know, coach fatigue because just people calling on them, hey, I like to coach you in marketing, coach you in social media, you know, et cetera, leadership. So I guess my thought for that, and it goes back to learning from some of the experts like Seth Godin, is to, you know, he wrote a book years ago called Small is the New Big, to think about really at the end of the day, what is your expertise and how can you super focus on that? How can you super niche out your superpower? And once again, hedgehog concept from Jim Collins. You know, what's the one thing that you can do to really be the best in the world at? And when you're in your zone of helping people, you come alive, you get energy, you want to do more of it. You're astounding your customers. So how can you really define a niche of what you do well and say no to everything else, right? I mean, we were talking about this in the pre-show, David, that it's very hard for entrepreneurs to say no because we always want to say yes. Yes, 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 we can do that. We can do that. We can do that. We try to be all things to all people and we become nothing to nobody. So, okay, you're a coach, you're a consultant, but in what? What is your specialty? If you're a surgeon, you know, you may specialize in liver surgery or liver transplants, right? So surgeons have specialties. What is your specialty as a consultant? And can you super hyper focus on that industry? So once you decide that, then figure out where you need to be. What organizations do you need to be focusing on when you're calling on clients? Who do you need to be, or prospects? Who do you need to be calling on? The HR, the marketing, the CEO? What events do you need to be going to? What do you need to be doing when it comes to marketing online, social media, et cetera? You know, what words do you need to be buying? What groups do you need to be belonging to? And so stand out by having something that, you know, what you are one of the preeminent world leaders in X when it comes to coaching and consulting, and write a book about it, do a podcast about it, maybe have an event about it. You know, I have events that I not only get to, you know, everybody that I invite to the event, and by the way, I charge them, is a potential customer, right? So I'm putting on a good quality event with content. Not only me, there's other speakers, but everybody in that audience, you can bet, is getting, you know, information from me about signing up for my services. And then I get sponsors for the event too. So it's another moneymaker. But so can you have an event that revolves around your expertise? Is it an online event? Is it an in-person event? You know, that's for you to decide. So I would say number one, find a niche. And then number two, find out some unique ways on how to market your niche to the relevant audiences.
And how would you describe your niche?
My niche, I'm very good at helping people start businesses and then growing smaller businesses to the next level. Because that's what I've done. You know, I'm a startup guy. I'm the mad scientist that puts together the idea. I launch it, get it to, you know, 1 to 3 million. And then I sell it or get somebody to run it for me, license it, franchise it, you know. But that's, you know, am I the guy that you're doing 20 million and you want to go to 100 million? No. There's some great other consultants for that. There's Gazelle coaches, there's EOS coaches, et cetera. I know my niche and that's it. That's it. You know, the dreamer to entrepreneur and then, you know, bringing that entrepreneur to the next level.
Yeah. One of the things that I've seen consultants do when they're trying to come up with this super specialty that you've described is they'll get a request to do something that is not in that specialty that has a fairly high price tag associated with it. And then they need to make a decision. Do they accept the request and get, you know, perhaps sidetracked and work on this project for 6 or 12 months that's going to pay a nice amount for the project? Or do they focus on building up their audience and their repertoire in this niche specialty?
Yeah, it's a dilemma. I mean, especially if, you know, the consultant coach really needs money. So, you know, some of these guys might pay the bills, but then you have to wonder, well, you know, okay, I'm giving, you know, 40% of my bandwidth to this project that, yeah, I'm making a good buck, not my superpower. What am I giving up when I could be, you know, super focusing all my bandwidth on getting new prospects and new clients into my superpower coaching program, and then laser focus on that to watch that explode. So it's a dilemma. There's no magic bullet. I guess it just depends how bad you need the money. If you do have the luxury of saying, you know what, I'm not going to take that job because I'm not, that's not really what I do best. I'm sorry. I know somebody, maybe make a referral, but sticking to your knitting, as they say, you know, if you have the luxury to do that, in my opinion, it is the best way to go.
And as someone who has both built his own businesses and helps others build businesses, what have you found to be some of the keys to success at building recurring revenue as part of your business model?
Well, I would suggest that, you know, like I said, once again, it starts out with defining a niche and building a service that does have that reoccurring business model. So maybe, you know, it's some type of online program that you're always adding to. And so for X dollars per month, they get to stay on the cutting edge of your program, you know, monthly. Or, you know, I have clients that I meet with weekly. I have clients that I meet with monthly, depending on their budget. So setting up systems so that, you know, you're continuing to help them on a regular basis, and especially coaches and consultants, because the world is changing so much that it's always good to have a consultant or coach to talk to. You know, it's not like you're ever going to run out of things to talk to. There is always something that will be on the agenda. And business owners always need that pit stop of somebody to talk to. So I guess, you know, make yourself such an incredible resource that they always want to come back to you. And, you know, we all know the great ways to do that, you know, is by staying on top of your field, but really by asking great questions back. Like for my clients, I make them come to me with an agenda. So they always have things that they want to talk about and they discuss, and I never solve their problems for them. I'm always asking what I think are great questions back to them so that they figure it out on their own. And then they feel great. You know, someone asked me a question on Friday and she's paying me, it's not a very expensive coaching program because she's kind of testing it out. It's her first time having a coach. So she's spending $6,000 with me. And she asked me one question and I asked a question back. And she answered it, and then she stopped and realized what I did. And she goes, oh my God, that was worth $6,000 right there. So guess what? I'm going to continue to have her as a client. So just make yourself so valuable that that they continue to need you on a monthly basis. And you could even tell them, like, I might not always have all the answers or all the questions, but just you being here and being able to stop and think, you know, this great coach of coaches, Rich Letvin. He wrote The Prosperous Coach. He writes that someone would benefit just from even like going home, getting out of the car and talking to their lamppost, because the value from there would just be the ability to stop and think and talk things through and, you know, kind of conceptualize everything in your mind of what you need to be thinking about and verbalizing it. So, you know, even that offers value. So if you can be better than a lamppost, then you have some high odds of getting some reoccurring revenue with your clients.
Sounds great. David, how did you learn the business strategy that helped you smash the plateau in your business life?
Well, I think just doing it. I mean, I started my first company when I was 26 in 1995. And, you know, I've done some great things. You know, I've franchised, I've licensed, I've had investors, I've sold. I mean, I've done a lot. I was an Inc. 5000 company 3 years in a row and a lot of other awards. And so I've done some great things, but I've also pretty much made every mistake in the book. You know, our entrepreneurs, you know, just growing too fast, you know, mismanaged people. You know, I've just done so many things wrong as well. So that I just feel like I've earned my stripes. And through those experiences, I really have some interesting insights to help people. And I'm a lifelong learner. I mean, I, you know, was an EO for 13 years. I started my local chapter. I'm in the Small Giants community with a guest that you've had on recently, Rob Dubay. We were both helped found the organization. You know, I've been to tons of seminars. I've seen, you know, John Maxwell and Darren Hardy and Tony Robbins. And I've always been a lifelong learner and I've always retained this information well. And when I decided to be a coach, I'm, you know, constantly reading about coaching as well. The Prosperous Coach is a great book to read if you really get your head around coaching, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It is a great book. So thanks for suggesting that. David, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Well, we'll talk about Rob Dubé again. You know, Rob, you know, he's smashing plateau after plateau. You know, he and his best friend from childhood, Joel, you know, they sold blow pops out of their locker in school and then went out to start a company with basically that sold printer cartridges. Right. And now they have a company called Image One that has just blown every plateau when it comes to that industry. Very successful company. They're a Forbes top 25 company for in the small giants category. And he just started a new movement really called Do Nothing. We're out of the box. He's got this great book and he's doing a silent retreat. It's all about meditation. So Rob is somebody that he's not only a very good friend, but he's somebody that is a mentor. And I emulate him because he does things in a very methodical yet focused way, but powerful, very, very powerful. And everything that he touches seems to just, I'll say, smash the plateau.
Absolutely. And for those listeners that haven't checked it out, I encourage you to go back to Rob Dubé's episode on Smashing the Plateau, which was not that long ago. It's a remarkable discussion.
Yeah. I have another example too, if you want.
Yeah, sure.
So a friend of mine, Steven Wessner, he has a company called Predictive ROI. So really cool, you know, and a lot of us entrepreneurs, it kind of happens, we'll say by mistake, you know, if you believe in the higher power. You know, some people will say that it was, you know, part of God's journey. And Steven had this company, Predictive ROI, that was a digital marketing company, and they were doing quite well. They, you know, would set up, you know, websites and obviously drive traffic to it through all the digital marketing strategies that we all know these days. And then one day he started his own podcast. And this is about, I would say, 3-4 years ago. And it's called Onward Nation. In fact, you might want to have him on your podcast if you haven't. But so he started doing really well with his podcast. He was one of the early adopters of podcasting. And one of his guests said, "Oh, that was fun. Can you do a podcast for me?" And he said, "Geez, I guess so." So he said yes, right? Like those entrepreneurs that say yes to everything. Well, sometimes it works out. So he told his teammate, we're going to make this guy his own podcast. Yeah, that went really well. Lo and behold, he started having some other guests saying, "Hey, can you make me a podcast? Can you make me a podcast?" Before you know it, you know, he tells a story. He's on his rocking chair on the front porch over the weekend at home and says, "Oh my God, I think I'm really meant to make podcasts for business owners." And he tells his team, "Hey, that's what we're going to do." And so lo and behold, you know, I think he's got 40 something clients now and continues to add more every month, creating, you know, for business owners that want a podcast. That's what they do. You know, they do my podcast. You know, I have the Avanti Entrepreneur Podcast. I just have to do the interview and he does everything. His team does everything else, editing, production, marketing, et cetera, which is nice for me because I am that manic entrepreneur. I don't want to do all that stuff. I just want to do the talking part. But he has really become, I'll say, an industry leader when it comes to making podcasts for business owners. And he owns the plateau. I think he's one of the most successful in the industry right now. So a lot of respect for these people.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about Steven Wessner. He's another great example. David, what do we have to look forward to from you in the near future? What's coming up?
Well, thanks for asking. So I have been doing a lot of different things the past couple of years with Avanti, which means move forward in Italian, by the way, A-V-A-N-T-I. So my business is called Avanti Entrepreneur Group, and which consists of the podcast, a local radio show. I do a magazine. I do coaching. I do events. So I do, you know, speaking. I do a lot of different things for business owners. And what I'm doing is I'm kind of pruning my rose bush and I'm going to focus everything into a brand new website called the AvantiNetwork.com. And essentially, we're going to be a media network for entrepreneurs. We're going to just have a lot of great content all curated into one place so that entrepreneurs can really get cutting edge content when it comes to everything that they need to be thinking about. You know, obviously regarding strategy, leadership, culture, marketing, sales, et cetera. So that's where we're funneling everything. And I'm going to prune my rose bush and, you know, shed some things that I'm doing to be able to focus on this. So that's going to come out in mid to late June and the AvantiNetwork.com. That's going to be my new focused superpower.
Sounds great. We're looking forward to that. How can listeners learn more about you and follow you in addition to the Avanti Network once it's out?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty big on LinkedIn. I post a lot on LinkedIn, so they just could type in, you know, David Mamano on LinkedIn, M-A-M-M-A-N-O. I'm also on Facebook, so same thing. My email is david@davidmamano.com, and Twitter is @DavidMamano.
Sounds great. Well, David, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a really great discussion about your own history as an entrepreneur and what you're doing as a leader of an entrepreneur community.
Appreciate it. Had a great time.
Yeah, really, really commendable. Thank you for what you're doing to help make the entrepreneurship world a more successful place and one that continues to smash plateaus.
Thank you. And you're doing some great work too, David.
My guest today has been David Mamano, the CEO of Avanti Entrepreneur Group. Thank you again, David, for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm David Schreiner Khan. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field but may not be an expert at running a business. If you're a solopreneur who's an expert in your field, but not necessarily smashing your plateau in business, and you want to ramp up your recurring revenue, join our Best Network. Receive expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands on our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. To learn more about joining the Best Network, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Join us and smash your plateau.